Lord Almighty, holy. Up to the front door up here. Praise God for children. As you might have noticed by now, I'm obviously going to preach today. So, but I want to apologize. This weather has been up and down, or lately it's just been flat cold to me. And my throat is acting up a little bit, but a lovely sister in the congregation gave me a piece of gum, which is keeping my throat moist, which I hope will help. But if you'll bear with me, and another brother prayed for me, so I'm sure we'll do fine. ¿Qué pasa? Much as I like to talk, and as outgoing as I am, and extroverted as I am, I get nervous. So to add something like that, I'm just bubbling inside right now. Deep breath. Has anyone ever asked you, do you believe that God loves you and has a marvelous plan for your life? What was your reply? Did it go something like, yeah, I know he loves me and has a marvelous plan for my life. I just wish I knew what it was. Then to have so many thoughts run through your mind as to what you wish that plan was. Like a great job, a great family, adorable children, college education, a good bank account, so on and so on. Or perhaps you heard that God wanted you to have a life and to have it more abundantly, only to relate it to the marvelous plan of God spoke of also. And again, all kinds of thoughts race through your head as to what more abundantly consists of. We have all had such thoughts, I'm sure, at some time in our Christian walk. But as we proceed on our journey through the Word of God, learning more and more about our God, we realize that our thoughts center on us. Our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our reasonings are not God's reasonings. Our ideas are not God's ideas. Our definition of plan, our definition of abundance are not God's definitions. Many today believe God loves them and that he has a plan for them and wants abundance for them, but on their terms, their conditions, and of course, their definition. Man's definition for a plan and abundance are short-lived fantasies, whereas God's plan and abundant living for us are eternally rewarding. Today, I would like to speak with you about God's plan for us to have life and to have it more abundantly. I've entitled my sermon today, Living the Abundant Life, and I'm embarrassed. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, the gospel. Verse 10, part B. Go to the latter part of verse 10. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This verse is preceded in Scripture by a very well-known verse. The thief, Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Many Christians are well acquainted with these works of the devil, and oftentimes they wallow in self-pity, depression, sorrow, and fear, trying to deal with their emotions. But try as they may to cope, they will fail. Focusing on Jesus Christ and the many blessings he attained for us through his death on the cross is the only way for us to deal with the devil and his attacks. Through Christ Jesus, we are provided the abundant life promised in part B. Excuse me. The only way into eternal life is through faith in Christ as personal Savior. We all know that. But do not stop here. To have eternal life is great. It's wonderful. But there is more. Christ came that you might have life more abundantly. And now, all believers have life, but not all have abundant life. Isn't that hard to believe? All Christians, I'm talking to Christians, have life, but not all Christians have abundant life. You are living beneath your privilege if you are a believer and not enjoying the abundant life. For life to be abundant, it must have abundant resources. And the only unlimited source of life is in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To possess this fuller life, the believer must abide in him. You can find that in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Dynamic, abundant living is not for just a few. It is God's norm for all believers. It is spiritual life in depth. And without it, the Christian becomes inane. I had to look that word up. Boring and meaningless. If you do not have abundant life within you, you will soon yield to the carnal, fleshly life around you. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4 speaks of this and mentions such carnal issues as envy, strife, division. Without abundant life in you, these things will come to the surface. The carnal life is circumstance controlled. The abundant life is Holy Spirit controlled. The carnal Christian life leads to defeat. The abundant life leads to victory in Christ. Man seems to know everything about life except how to live it victoriously and abundantly. From this moment on, determine not to be satisfied with anything less than God's best, living life abundantly. Living life abundantly has five qualities, according to the Bible. Quality number one, if you're keeping track of these on the piece of paper provided. Quality number one, living the abundant life is a yielded life. Romans 6, verses 10 through 13. Follow along as I quote. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans chapter 6. How to live the abundant life is no secret. It is revealed in our Lord Jesus. Faith that saves identifies you with Christ in his death. This is eternal life. Faith that yields identifies you with Christ in his resurrection. This is abundant life. It is one thing to have eternal life by faith. It is quite another thing to have abundant life by faith. It is one thing for you to be made the righteousness of God in him, Jesus. It is another thing for you to realize his righteous life is in you. It is one thing for you to live in Christ. It is another thing for Christ to live his life in and through you. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The believer has a choice. He may yield unto God by faith and enjoy abundant life, or he may yield unto sin and endure a defeated life. God would have you know the power of a yielded life unto him. It will lift you above the circumstances that circumvent abundant living. The abundant life begins when you yield to him as master, allowing him to live his life through you by faith. The first quality of abundant living, a yielded life. The second quality of abundant living is a service life. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To live abundantly, you must serve the Lord Jesus, who himself became our example. He served all the way to Calvary, and there he was the obedient servant, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In the verse we read above, Romans 12:1, the believer is urged to take the necessary steps for abundant living. First, you are to present. This is a volitional surrender to the perfect will of God. Even though you may not know God's perfect will for your life, it is, on your part, an act of faith. Secondly, you are to present your bodies. God must control and use the whole man. Our whole man was redeemed on the cross, sanctified, set apart for service. And thirdly, you are to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This type of living sacrifice was exemplified in the life of the Apostle Paul. In life, he was a servant of Jesus Christ. In battle, he was a warrior. In the will of God, he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You and I have been transformed, changed by the power of God, and no longer conformed to this world through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior. But now you can be conformed to the perfect will of God and live abundantly. The third quality of living the abundant life is a separated life. Romans 1:1, I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, sanctified. Separation is both positive and negative. You are to be separated unto the gospel of God. This is positive. You are to come out from anything that is contrary to the perfect will of God, negative. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not what is unclean, and then I will receive you. To be separated means to be salvation and service. The Word of God has the power to separate the believer from sin. The Word of God. God the Father has the power to separate the believer unto the God the Son has the power to separate the believer unto righteousness, not having spot or wrinkle. And God, the Holy Spirit, has the power to separate the believer unto salvation and service. Have relationship with God, but you cannot have fellowship with him. You may be united to him in Calvary, but separated from him in sin. Excuse me. Influence without power. Movement without achievement. You may try, but not trust. Serve, but not succeed. War, but not win. Without separation unto sanctified, unto God from sin, your whole Christian life will be wood, hay, and stubble, says the Word. The abundant life is made possible by the death, burial, and resurrection, by being separated unto him. Our fourth quality of living the abundant life is a spirit-filled life. Found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5, 18 to 20. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer. You may be immature, weak, and imperfect, but if you have been born again of the Spirit, he dwells you to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. But does the Holy Spirit have you that he may fill you with the abundant life? The abundant life is not found in the environment or in circumstances. We think, isn't it? When we think of abundance, we immediately, dollar signs come up. Or boats, or cars, or houses, education, positions of authority. All these things come up. All our possessions. It is filled with the Spirit is a command. You may be filled many, many times. The apostles that were filled in Acts chapter 2 were again filled in Acts chapter 4. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be spirit-led, and spirit-controlled. You are to be filled with the Spirit that you might have joy for service, for power to be a witness, Spirit, and that you may be led by the Spirit. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? The Word makes it simple. First, you must desire for him to fill you. Third, you must believe that he does fill you. The fifth and final quality of living the abundant life is a mature life, found in 2 Peter 3:18. Oh, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The scriptures reveal four stages of spiritual growth in the Christian life. We all began the baby stage, not the earthly baby stage, not from the womb, but the baby stage of the womb of Christian growth. A baby, when you think of a baby thinks only of self. When denied something, what does a baby do? Scream and holler and make a ruckus and a rompus. And that's a cool word, rompus. I haven't heard that for years. But in my study, that was the word used, rompus. Not like ruckus. Babies are easily hurt. It's often jealous. A baby lives 24 hours a day, it seems, to be served, never to serve. A baby drinks milk, cries, but never sings. A baby tries to talk, but never makes sense. Does this sound like any Christians that you've known during your days of growing in the Lord? Do you remember when you were at that stage in your life as a new Christian? We all started out as babes in Christ. And it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit and God's grace that we're at where we are, where we are at. How'd that, boy, that was today. These infant characteristics are so prominent in the lives of many church members today. They have been born into the family of God, but have failed to develop spiritually. They are spiritual babies, carnal Christians. The second stage of growth is the child stage, found in 1 John 2:12. The child is often rebuked. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one there. The child is often untruthful, envious, and cruel. You notice that with your children when they're young children? It's very easy. No, I didn't do that. No, my brother did it. My sister. They're untruthful. They're not reliable. They're envious, and they can be downright cruel. If rebuked, they become martyrs. If crossed, they are resentful and often make a scene. They are talebearers, liars, gossips, repeating everything they hear. They are given to emotional outbursts, easily puffed up, becoming proud. They love praise and will accept it from any source. A child seeks only the things that appeal to self. Do we know any Christians like that in the body of Christ today? The third stage of growth is the young man stage. Finally, some maturity. Finally, stand on his own two feet. Finally, wisdom starts to arise. Spiritual growth to that of a young man is not reached by many. Young men are characteristically strong and virile, well able to overcome their enemies. They have a vision for the future and the faith and courage to tackle it. A young man is preparing for his productive years. A young man, not to exclude the women, sorry, just using the terminology. A young man is willing to volunteer in the church, willing to serve. They are self-motivated. You too can become a young man or woman spiritually by putting away childish things and grow. Grow up. The fourth and final stage is the father stage, found in 1 John 2:13. This stage of spiritual development can be reached by all according to the Word of God. It is God's intention that we all come to this stage, but so few ever attain it. The characteristics of the father stage is that the father has peace with God. That the father knows the peace of God. That the father rejoices in his spiritual children, those he has mentored through the years. I pause here to recognize two men in the church that I believe fit this description, and I'm not trying to point them out to embarrass them. But I think of Stan Rennick, and I think of Drennan Watts. Both of these men who have mentored and nurtured and fed other men and women in their lives growing up, maturing in Christ, that they have reached this stage where they have learned to be content. They've learned to be at peace with God. They've learned the peace of God. They rejoice when they look back and say, I remember when that little squirt was in my Sunday school class. And look at him today, he's a preacher. He's on the mission field. He started a church. He's a businessman, living by the principles of God set forth in the Word. I think of these two men when I read these characteristics. They have learned to be content under all circumstances. They know the only source of true strength. They do not brood over the past, but look to the future. They know that all things work together in this life for their eternal good. They enjoy the abundant life now and know that they will enjoy it in the life to come. Are you enjoying the abundant life that our Lord intends for you and I to enjoy? Last page. I put the others to throw people off. Consider now the stage of growth that you are at. Are you in that child stage still? Baby stage? You're still whining and complaining and self-righteous, wanting everything to be, it's all about you. Are you in the child stage? Are you in that young man stage where, boy, they just can't tie you down? Let me go. Open the corral gate and away I go for Christ. Consider now the stage of growth you are at and commit to growing up. I say it to myself and I say it to the church. Evaluate yourself. Grow up. We all need to grow up by engaging in the five qualities of living the abundant life that I spoke of earlier. Notice, brothers and sisters, that the five qualities of abundant living center on yielding to whom? Christ. Service to whom? Christ. Being separated, set apart, sanctified unto whom? Christ. Being Holy Spirit filled by whom? Christ. And finally, by being mature in whom? Christ. Abundant living is all about Christ Jesus living his life in us and through us. As we face this new year ahead of us, let us not look back at the failures and disappointments and wallow in self-pity, but let us take the successes that we have recorded in the past year and press on into the new year with faith-filled expectations for a more abundant life in Christ according to his holy word. Remember, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. I mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class to Joshua that I spoke of the Buffett.
Yeah.
Forgot again, Jerry. This Buffett guy has got all his money. That if I wanted millions of dollars, who would I go to get millions of dollars? I'd go to somebody like Buffett because he has it. If you and I want abundant life, then you have to go to someone who's got abundant resources, unending resources to give you and I abundant life. When we think, reason, or whatever about abundant life or about God's plan for our life, we immediately go into the mode of, let me jot down what I believe that is. And can you see? It's not in the things of this world. In my study, this really opened my eyes. Yeah, I knew a lot of this, but it rekindled thoughts in me that how you can easily stray, that if I just had a little more of my 401, if I just had a little better running automobile or whatever, I'd be kicking, man. This would be a good life. We can get caught up in that. But God's word is all about his love for you and I. God's word is all about the abundance that he has planned from the Garden of Eden. He gave Adam and Eve everything they needed. And it wasn't enough. And guess what, church? It still is not enough for you and I if we allow our carnal nature to take over. Abundant life, abundant living, abundance, God's plan for our life is found in one single solitary person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me and my standards and my word and my love and my mercy and my grace. And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen and amen. At this time, I would like to have, and she's gone, Debbie and Dan and their lovely child, and the other child, yet to be known, to come forward. And if mom and dad will come forward, HJ.